So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. I welcome all those people that joined in early here at BBS Online. Thank you for being here. This is a simulcast in combination with a conference call. And every time you hear a ding, that is somebody else joining in. And I welcome those who just came in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Alaska.
Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else joined in? If you want to, we welcome you. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thank you for being here. All right. And then again, I welcome all those people that are joining in through BBS Online. We cannot see you, we cannot hear you, but it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Hives.
All right. All right, and yes, I did receive Vin's email. It's a continuation of last week's call regarding Edgar Cayce about the times we are in.
Hi, do I sound clear today?
You sound good, yes.
I'm on Skype.
All right, I like it.
A little bit weak, though. A little bit weak.
God, I can't please all the people all the time.
How much does it cost to get a landline put in over there?
Impossible.
I don't even know if you can get a landline. Oh. We do have an UMA line, and we haven't been using it. But
this is a regular landline. Hold on, we have an echo. I think the echo is coming from... Okay, we're good. We're good now. So, Wynn.
What?
Your UMA. That is like a landline phone, right?
No, it's actually an internet phone. But people say it's like a landline.
Yeah, but I mean the phone itself, it has like a cord with a plug, like a regular phone
right,
plug.
Right.
So you could just have like, you know, a Panasonic with a phone, right?
I don't know if it would be better, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I mean,
it seems like it would be, really.
I think so, too, because...
the computer.
I mean...
As long as your computer connection is good, then you have a great...
But Skype should be the same thing. I mean, do I not? You know, I'm using what has always been my best computer headset, okay? And in any case, I will just speak loud, okay?
Hey, you sound good right now. I like it.
It was a good call yesterday, Wynn.
It was?
Yeah, everybody contributed, all the monitor, I mean, what do you call the guy? Commentators,
yeah.
In his contributions, I thought.
You know what? I was amazed at some of the stuff I said.
Moderator, that's just anything.
Yeah. Vin, you always amaze me.
Just when I thought you didn't have anything new to say.
Right. Well, you know what? I can't personally believe that I can be... this interesting three times a week, and keep myself interested, you know?
Yeah.
And
I couldn't do it.
No. But, you know, it's just that on some level I've got all this stuff in my experience, and it's, you know, you walk around most of your life and you say, no one's interested in all this. No one would understand this, you know? No one understands.
And it's probably from more than one lifetime.
Probably from more than one lifetime, right.
It's usually true with most people.
So let me give a chance for those people who came in here in the last minutes. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Yeah, this is Roger in Austin.
Roger, welcome to the call.
Roger.
Hi. Who else joined in? We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Only if you want to.
Only if you want to. All right, it is 6:03, Wynn. Terry, are you here?
Yes. Hi,
everybody. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Terry.
I'm
Hi,
good,
Terry.
Thanks.
All
Bye.
Right. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And you too, Wynn, and everybody here is just so awesome that we all together make a great team.
How did you guys meet a lone wolf?
Hey.
Is he on? Hi, Lone Wolf.
How you doing?
All right.
Oh, hi, Lone Wolf.
You got the coolest name of anybody on the call here.
Well, the Cherokee named me many years ago.
Uh-huh. How did you meet Wynn?
Pardon me?
How did you find out about Wynn?
I met him actually at a Circle K. I was coming out. He was going in. We met. We talked. Found each other interesting.
What's Circle K?
You're not familiar with Circle K?
I don't think we have those around here.
It's a fuel station convenience store.
Okay. And we just have BP around here.
Okay.
Keep giving them money so they can fix the Gulf.
I think they outlawed BP in California. Just kidding. Oops, we recorded at BBS.
Mm-hmm. Can't take it back now.
When you ever tried using Google Voice?
He's still looking for his number two headset.
What's happening? Oh, I think it's in here somewhere.
No, I'm just kidding, Terry. Please remain relaxed. All right, Chris, if you're here, please speak up.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Hey, good, man.
All right.
How's Uncle Terry doing?
He was on the call yesterday.
Yeah.
I sometimes have to call.
Get a lot of echo.
Yeah.
He's talking about Terry Friedman, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How's he doing?
Well, medium rare.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, you know, he went to his, I don't know if I should tell, I'll tell. His daughter's wedding in Denver. And that was, Denver is very high, you know, and man, more ways than one. Yeah.
Rocky Mountain High.
Ohio area legalizes.
All right, Wynn and
care anymore though.
Wynn and Terry, are you guys ready?
Are you ready, Wynn?
The clock is ticking.
Are you there, Wynn?
It's up to you, Terry.
Uh-oh.
All right.
What's today's topic, Terry?
We are talking about the predictions of Edgar Cayce regarding the times you're in.
I liked your comment like yesterday.
Continuation from last week, Monday's call. Wynn, if you're here, we cannot hear you.
Hey, it's 9 o'clock here on the East Coast.
All right.
Yeah, it's almost time for bed.
Yeah.
Maybe Wynn fell asleep. No, he snores, right? We would hear him.
Well, you would hear him snoring if he was. I wonder if he realizes, you know, when we were on the call on Sunday, there were four of us in the house that were on the call, and there was this interference, and three of our phones got disconnected from the call.
I saw that, and, yeah.
Yeah, and they got disconnected later on from the call, so twice they got disconnected from the call.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to figure out why that would happen, because it was like a big interference. It went that's how it sounded to us
mm-hmm.
before it went down.
I have an idea.
What's that?
I'm wondering if it has something to do with the person you're muting.
No.
Oh.
No, that couldn't be.
We weren't muting anybody right then.
Well, we were on lecture mode. You know what?
Uh-huh.
I just think as you move through this realm, you get all kinds of rocks thrown in your way, and just move around the rock and keep going, you know? It happens to all of us. And it's just, it goes with the territory of being in 3D. And particularly doing this kind of work.
That's true.
Yeah.
Vin, are you ready?
No, but I'll start anyway.
All right.
Okay.
We will.
All callers are muted.
And here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 29th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And Heise in Magalia. Magalia? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And Heise, we're getting emails about you. Somebody said, sometimes you sound really good, and Heise says you sound bad. What do you think that means? Okay.
And I'm a critic.
You're a critic. And then we get, here's a question. I'm not going to say who it's from. I do love this guy, but a question somebody wants me to ask, but this is a question I am not going to ask. I would like to know if I was anyone important in my previous life.
I mean, you're fizzling out.
Am I fizzling out?
Now you're good again.
Okay.
So we just get
it seems like there's something wrong with that question, because everybody is important. Maybe he means, was it somebody that was stellar, famous, super?
Yeah.
They very
rarely answer the question. And in my case, there were a couple of people that I kept having lots of clues that I was connected to. And the clues became enormous. And when I finally asked them, I was already pre-sold, and then they confirmed it, okay? And in the only time, at an earlier time, when I asked the question, they said, well, I had a lot of lives as an orphan where I died young, and, you know, the fact that you get into prominence for this kind of work is usually a long shot. And sometimes you keep coming in and you can't get a foothold down here because it's not preordained in most cases. Now, Jesus, it was a big plan. Okay, so that was different. But sometimes in certain lineages, like the Tibetan Lama, the former lamas apparently keep reincarnating, and everybody knows that, and they look for who that was, and they seem to be able to figure it out. But otherwise, to get into a position of prominence for doing this kind of work is kind of a crapshoot, because it takes a lot of, first of all, self-analysis, work on yourself. And second, it takes a lot of, speaking for myself, it's taken so many crazy synchronicities that it is just amazing that I did it and that I took the right steps. I mean, even from the point of sitting in a little RV and saying, I'm not supposed to do this for the rest of my life, and I started writing poems. If I didn't do that, I wouldn't be doing this. But I had not a clue what it was going to lead to. I just said, I'm not supposed to be doing this, and I'm supposed to be a writer, and I started writing poems. So, and then I started writing for a magazine. And then I ended up by a crazy, somebody sent me an email, and I went to the article. I ended up on David Wilcox's website, and I end up interviewing David for that magazine I was writing for. But if I wasn't writing poems, I wouldn't have been writing for the magazine, and I wouldn't have interviewed David, and I wouldn't have written the book. And then they were paying me to write articles. And then I went to a conference in a car that I wasn't sure would make it, that was like 400 miles from L.A., because I wanted to interview a bunch of people and make more money, because it was a New Age conference. And so the editor said, yeah, if you go there and interview 8 people, we'll pay you for it. So I went there, and I walked in the door, and there was DK staring at me. And, you know, and if I didn't start writing poems, I wouldn't have been in that conference. And if I didn't send poems out to that magazine, I wouldn't have gotten the job interviewing people. And it was like the chances of me making all the right decisions and having all that occur were almost impossible. And yet I made them. And God knows why, but here I am. And I was thinking that, before I just go into the topic that I announced, that what is the most important thing that anyone can get out of this? And I came up with an answer. And yes, we do a lot of interesting calls. Yes, we bring in a lot of amazing information. Yes, there's a lot of great energies on these calls. Yes, many people go through transformations as a result of being on the calls. But the bottom line, in my opinion, the most important thing is that you get the idea that you are part of all that is, and you say, I am going to actually find that part of me that's part of all that is and experience it directly. And you, for most people, I won't say this is for everyone, but for most people, in order to have that direct experience, you have to make the intention to have it. You have to say, I am going to find this. This is inside me. And I remember long ago when I made that decision. This was before any of these experiences. And I was going to the talks of a spiritual teacher in Los Angeles. And he inspired me to make that decision. And he taught a kind of a, he called it spiritual exercises. What was not exactly meditation, but the idea was, and yet this is not something you even need to be taught. I can teach it to you in 1 minute. And that to be able to sit down or lay down, what, no matter what your space is, no matter how fragmented you feel, no matter how out of balance you feel, and to say, I am going to connect and demand of yourself a connection. Now, in his case, he said, say these words, and he gave a mantra. But you can use something like Om or you, you, or Coca-Cola, because the purpose of that is to just focus your mind. So when you start thinking, you know, you've got mind chatter, you say, okay, back to Om. And you can do it, you can do Om out loud because it vibrates your chakras. And the first time I experienced that I could do that, and in a half an hour or less, that my consciousness would shift. The scattered energy that was going on before I started that would shift. The fear would go away. The headache would go away. And suddenly, I was connected. And that became a tool that I could use and draw on any time. And then the next step is to take that space. Why do I hear all that? Do I hear breathing? Let me see if that's Terry. Okay. I just muted you. Every time I mute you, you unmute yourself. We're having a muting fight. Okay. And after a while of doing that, it just became automatic that even when I wasn't doing it consciously, part of me would stay in that connection. And if I lost it, I could go back and do that. And it didn't mean that every other bit of everything inside me disappeared, because it was still there. It's just that there was a frequency that was riding with me that was above all of that. And I could go back and amplify that frequency. It's kind of an amazing thing to be laying in your bed and suddenly doing it now, feeling the energy shift and feeling the silence and feeling a connection. Now, I didn't know it was the Ra group or the Elohim. I mean, I think it was. I think it was probably the Ra group, because that's the affinity I have in my track. But I had no clue of that. I just knew that I could create an intention and I could stop all the lower level stuff to usually stop it to a great degree if I was upset, if somebody got me mad, if my heart got broken, I could then go into that space and regroup myself. And those of you on this call are learning that experience on the call. We actually do that as a group. And I highly suggest you try it as a regular exercise every day or even twice a day and see if you can bring in that peaceful, quiet energy. And if you don't do it the first time, don't give up. Do it again and again. If it takes you a month and you say, I got it, it's like probably one of the most valuable tools you can have in 3D, because it takes you out of all the 3D garbage. And there's a lot of it. And yes, there's all kinds of stuff going out around in the world right now. And everybody's saying this, and you can focus on what might happen and the news. And it's like, it's possible that worst case scenarios could happen. It's possible. And I asked the question one time, because I know one of the worst case scenarios that I know of is that you go up in a nuclear blast and you're soul fragments. And I asked the question, I said, what would happen if I got caught in a nuclear blast? Would my soul fragment? And the answer was, the Ra group would take your soul out of your body before it fragmented, and you'd be okay. Now, I am sure that that's true for any one of you who learn how to connect with these energies. And that's a really good reason to do this as a spiritual practice. And somebody's calling me and I didn't mute my thing. Now, you know what? With these sophisticated smartphones, I just sent a text message back that said I'm in class. So, okay. So I just wanted to really emphasize that. That's an active way of, you know, coming to the calls is a passive way. It's passive because you're just in a yin position, listening and trusting us to guide this time and learning how to hold this space, to bring yourself in center. And then, of course, once you do that, not only can you make a connection, but you feel that energy and you can send it to other people. You can help lift the vibration of other people. You can put prayers into that intention or that experience. And people wonder how they can be of service. That is one of the greatest services any of us can do. And, you know, it may be unheralded. Maybe no one will be clapping. No one will even know you're doing it except God. And who could be a better audience for your efforts? Okay, so I'm going back to Edgar Cayce, and remember, I'm looking at these sessions that were done from 70 years ago. And Edgar Cayce is mostly known for his health readings and secondarily known for his reincarnation readings. And then he's known for his prophecies. And of course, according to the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they said that sometimes Edgar Cayce had negative sources. And so when I go through these things, we can't know for sure. If I see one and it stands out, then I will skip it. But, you know, it's even with our work, I tell everybody, don't give up your power to channeling, because even our work could have negative sources or something negative come through it. I don't think it does too much. I think sometimes there could be bleed through Terry. But nonetheless, the only thing that's important about any of this is the ability to inspire you to go and be able to contemplate, just, you know, sit down, stop the world, and connect with spirit. And let me see. Last week, we were talking, let's see where I left off last week. We're talking about now remember that it's my take that it was most definitely the Ra Group who was speaking through Edgar Cayce. And I don't believe anyone else says that. Even Carla Ruckert. That didn't come through in her readings. It's just that when I put all the pieces together, it felt like the Ra Group. And of course, I'm not going to go through that now. So Suma might be right. How did the master work? Now remember, it's my take, and I'm pretty sure that I've got this correct, that Jesus was a manifestation, a co-creation with the Ra Group. And it was their desire to bring someone in to lift the vibration of the planet. And the way that we lift our vibrations is to be around energy fields that are more highly activated than ours, which then activates our DNA. The energy fields we're in activate the strands of our DNA. So if someone can come in and hold a clear enough space, an uncorrupted, non-distorted space, with their chakras open, they will activate the DNA fields of the people around them. Now, the people around them then have to take it upon themselves to keep their own fields activated, to bring in that energy. And the best way to do it is by serving others. Because when you do that, it's an automatic thing. It's not, how can I say this? It's not like just being good. When I do these calls, it keeps me activated as well as you. Even when I come onto the call and I'm out of balance, I find myself going into a balance during the call because I am being of service to all of those who are listening, and I know that you're getting it, and it's beyond my conscious understanding. It's just something that the way it works. So he says, how did the master work? Did he defy? Did he set up anything different? Did he condemn? All he gave are his one under the law. All grudges, schisms, isms, cults must become as naught. That's from Edgar Casey. The seed of disturbances since the first disagreement about what sacrifice was to be offered and the kind of sacrifice has ever been that someone was to set a rule by which all others would be judged or to which all must conform. But the rule is and should be that one proclaimed from the beginning, "Know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." Now, that's interesting. The Lord thy God is one. If you try to break that down into English, you might say, is one what? Okay? But if you break it down in the Ra terminology, we know one. There is only one energy in the universe. We are part of that energy. The Elohim is part of that energy. The one infinite creator, I guess, is the source of that energy, and it's in all of us. Any movement other than the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God is dangerous. Raise not democracy nor any other name above the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. I think I read that one last week. Let's see here. This is a book that's out of print called The Politics of Hope. It's actually a booklet, about 60 pages, that came into my hands some years ago. And this is Group Karma in World Affairs. Karma is that brought over while cause and effect may exist in the one material experience only. What you sow, you reap. There are often experiences in which individuals apparently reap that which they have not sown. But this is only the short self-vision of the entity, or the one analyzing and studying purposes or ideals in relationship to these particular individuals. Changes come, and some people say, luck has intervened, but it is not luck. It is the result of what the soul has done about its opportunity for redemption. Now remember, Casey was a fundamentalist Christian, and they phrased a lot of this stuff to him in those terms that would be acceptable. Otherwise, he would have dumped the project. And he almost did. If you study the history of Casey, he was quite scared when this voice came through him initially. And because of his Christianity, he was predisposed to think this could be demonic. And for the first 20 years that he was doing readings, they only did health readings. They wanted to prove to him that they could bring through valuable analysis of people's health conditions and also alternative cures. So the person's thoughts are the food upon which the soul feeds, along with the actions which result from these thoughts. These thoughts and actions, in return, have been generated by the thoughts and actions behind them, and so on back to the birth of the soul. When a soul enters a new body in a new environment, a door is opened leading to an opportunity for building the soul's destiny. Everything which has been previously built, both good and bad, is contained in that opportunity. There is always a way of redemption, but there is no way to dodge responsibilities which the soul itself has undertaken. That is a heavy little paragraph there. What it means to me is, what they're saying is, that we are constantly regenerating the soul through our thoughts and actions, and we are living at the effect of the thoughts and actions behind us in the past that go all the way back to the birth of the soul. So every moment you are recreating yourself and reprogramming yourself, and by your thoughts and actions, and it's an opportunity, and there is always a way of redemption, and redemption would mean redeeming yourself from the thoughts and actions of the past that would have fall into the category of karma. But then there's no way to dodge responsibilities which the soul itself has undertaken. Let's see here. In the combination of efforts by individuals in a given direction, there is first the creation in the universal forces of the body-mind of such an organization, no matter of what nature, be it physical, material, or for spiritual purposes. It grows to be with the activities of such a group, association, combination, body-minded, and the purposes that you term soul, which is in the stellar forces rather than its association or combination of such. Hence, you speak of the spirit of America, of Germany, of the Nordic people, of the Mayan, of the Celtic, or whatnot. These are influences that have taken shape in the realms beyond matter, yet influence same, or influence matter, much as with as much of a body as the mind the builder has built it. Okay, that's one of those ones where Casey's English was fairly broken. But basically it's saying there, at least as I get it, that once there is a group energy, there is a group consciousness that carries forth, just like an individual soul consciousness carries forth. And that group consciousness could be the group consciousness of a country, of America, of Germany, of the Nordic people. We are building here a group consciousness that didn't have a lot of precedent, that comes from nothing. All of us coming together, we're not a country, we're not a religion, we're not a company, we're a group of people associated to uplift ourselves, the people around us, and our planet. And each nation, each individual head of a nation, is not in the position it occupies merely by happen chance, but by the grace of God. Each nation, each people, have builded, by the very spirit of the peoples themselves, a purposeful position in the scheme, the affairs, not only of the earth, but the universe. Under conditions existent at the present time, all these groups and nations have come to that point in the development of the human family where there must be a reckoning. Okay, that's us right now. That all the different energies have come to the point where there must be a reckoning. He that hath eyes to see, let him see. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And art thou ready to give an account of that thou hast done with thine opportunity in the earth? Then make thy path straight, for there must come an answering. For as has been given to have knowledge and not apply it, it becomes sin. That is probably one of the reasons that people have a harder time gravitating towards this work we're doing, because there's a lot of knowledge in here of understanding the way things work, understanding how important we are in the process, each and every one of us. And to have knowledge and not apply it, it becomes sin. Sometimes I look at it like, if you don't think of yourself as a caretaker for other people, and everyone's got their own destiny, everyone's got their own karma, and you don't have to do anything because it's their problem, it's kind of like you're walking by a guy who is stuck in quicksand, and you have a choice. You could pull him out, you could extend your hand, or you could shrug your shoulders and say, what a dumb nut. Why didn't he walk more carefully? Look, there's even a sign that says quicksand. He's not paying attention. Well, once you're on a spiritual path and you see someone stuck in quicksand, you have to make an attempt to pull them out. Otherwise, you feel guilty. And the trick is to be able to make your best shot at pulling them out without getting pulled in, because that's the danger, all right? It is well understood by some that a new order of conditions is to arise. I remember reading this one here. There must be many a purging in high places as well as low. Certain circumstances will come about in political, economic, and whole relationships in which a leveling will occur, or the greater comprehension of the need for it. We are our brother's keeper. If those in a position to give of their means, wealth, education, and position do not take these truths into consideration, then there must be that leveling which is to come. For those with $1 million are no more precious in the sight of the Heavenly Father than those who are hungry on the street. National Karma, United States. When readest thou, how dost thou interpret that which prompted this land when it separated itself, when it bound itself together for better functioning in the affairs and experiences of man? What prompted it? What impelled that binding together into one activity? Such promptings as these then become basic forces in the economic relationships of a people or a nation. The ideals and purposes which call the nation into being are good. An answer might be that each man and woman needs to adhere to those same principles which first caused the formulation of the American ideals. And of course, the Declaration of Independence, they quoted here, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. And that's the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And, of course, this was written 1930, 1940, or channeled. And it seems to me that our country has lost the essence of those two paragraphs. Question to Casey. What is meant by the day of the Lord is near at hand? That, as has been promised through the prophets and sages of old, the time and the half-time has been and is being fulfilled in this day and generation, and that soon there will appear again in the earth that one through whom many will be called to meet those who are preparing the way for his day in the earth. The Lord then will come, even as ye have seen him go, when those who are his have made their way, made the way clear and passable for him to come. Now, that's really interesting. Now, we are hearing in general that Jesus is probably not going to come back in a body, and that the Christed energy is coming through many, and many who will hold that energy, not necessarily the reincarnation or some other manifestation of Jesus. Now here, and this was like a number of years ago, they seem to be saying, he seems to be saying, that the Lord will come even as ye have seen him go, when those who are his have made the way clear and passable for him to come. So it's interesting that we have Terry Friedman, which perhaps is a opening for Jesus. I don't know. Is it never right to do that which is evil, that good may come? Okay. That's an interesting question. No, it is never right to do that which is evil, that good may come. In other words, the ends don't justify the means. Know that right, justice, mercy, patience, as was represented and presented by him, the Prince of Peace, is the basis upon which the new world must continually be established before there is any peace. Then innately, mentally, and manifestedly in self, prepare self for cooperative measures in all phases of human relations in this direction. Any movement other than the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God is dangerous. Raise not democracy nor any other name above the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. And let me just go there. He talks about things like, if there's not acceptance in America of the closer brotherhood of man, the love of the neighbor as self, civilization must wend its way westward, and again among Mongolia must a hated people be raised. On Russia's religious development will come the greater hope of the world. Then that one or group that is the closer in its relationship may fare the better in the gradual changes and final settlement or conditions as to the rule of the world. In Russia, is there the new birth out of which will come a new understanding? As we have indicated here, a new understanding has and will come to a troubled people. Here, because of the yoke of oppression, because of the self-indulgence, has arisen another extreme. Only when there is freedom of speech, the right to worship according to the dictates of conscience, until these come, still turmoils will be within.
When 60,
China, 655, what time is it? Okay, I'll take another minute. The second, this is interesting stuff here, of the second, of eventual conquering of self in China will be brought about. There in China one day will be the cradle of Christianity as applied to the lives of man. Yea, it is far off, so man counts time, but only a day in the heart of God. I'm just going to read these. We'll just see what happens. Also in England, whence have come the ideas, not the ideals, of being just a little bit better than the other fellow. You must grow to that state wherein ye deserve to be known, deserve to receive. Herein has been and is the sin of England. English people think they're better than other people, is what he's saying. And in France, to which this principle first appealed, then came the idea of gratification of bodily desires. That is the sin of France. Don't ever get the idea that France will be eliminated from the earth. It is one of the seven sins, as well as one of the 12 virtues in the human family. Consider India, the cradle of knowledge, not applied except within self. What is the sin of India? Self, and leaves off the ish, just self. And he's talking about different countries. How about Germans? Who can set a standard for democratic education of a Germany who considers itself already wiser than all the democracies? Rather teach Germany God, how to search for and find him, how to apply his laws in dealing with a fellow man. Teach Germany God first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God as thyself, and thy neighbor as thyself, with all thy heart, thy mind, and purpose. And I think I've finished the main things in this book. Here we go. In an hour of trial, when there are influences abroad that would change or mar or take away the freedom, which is the gift of the creative forces to man, there should be the willingness to pattern the life, the emergencies, the exigencies exist. Much in the same way and manner as the Master indicated to each and every soul. One should ever be able and willing to lay down the life that the principles may live as he indicated, that of freedom, not only from servitude, not only from the dictates as to the manner in which love, sacrifice, obedience may be administered to the faith and hope that lies within him, but that the whole earth may indeed be a better place for an individual, for those that are come to reside in. If the love of that for which the country in which he resides stands, from which he expects and desire to obtain a livelihood, is such that you would have thine own son, thine own self, thine own wife live in same, and you wish to defend same against what has been or may be presented, then the choice is within self.